It's good to be in God's house and worship with all of you today. We had a group of guys and little guys that went fishing this week, and I was unfortunate in that I wasn't able to go. I was not feeling well Thursday and Friday. And yesterday, fortunate enough to go and watch a Little League ball game where our grandson, Isaac, played. It was so thrilling to he was the first one up to bat, hit a double, standing double, and he plays different positions, but the first inning he was playing second base, and you know how they play when they're standing between second and first base, and I mean he's standing there and he's ready, and there's a runner on first base. And so the ball comes right to him, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, let him catch it. And it was a grounder, and he picked it up. He runs over to second base and turns and throws to first base, double play. Oh, that's my grandson. That's it. And so the next inning, he gets out there and he's in outfield and goes to catch the ball and it goes over his head. And so that, you know, it's like, oh, who is that kid? No, really. But it was thrilling. They won 10-0, and it was great. We felt good enough that we rode the bike there and back. This morning, I'm not feeling too well, so pray for me that I can at least stay on stage for the duration of the sermon. So, this morning we're going to be continuing looking at the subject of prayer. Before Easter, we looked at prayer and how prayer, intercessory prayer, works, and how one person will go to God or a second person on behalf of a third person, and that is a prayer triangle, and how God is looking for intercessors. But as we look at prayer, I'm reminded of Jabez. Now, Jabez is not a very familiar name in the Bible. In 1 Chronicles, we see when we look at that, if you've ever read through the Bible, 1 Chronicles is horrible, horrible to go through, because it is simply a listing in the first 9 chapters, basically, is a listing of who fathered so-and-so, and so-and-so fathered so-and-so, and so-and-so fathered so-and-so, and so-and-so fathered these three people, and those three people, when you look at them individually, it goes on and it comes back, and oh my goodness, it boggles your mind. If it was the genealogy of the Craig Ballard family, it would go something like this. Harold begat Joe, and Joe begat Clarence, and Clarence begat Dean, and Dean begat Rod and Craig and Mia, and Craig begat Nick and Nate and Danielle, and Nick begat Jonathan and Katie, and Nathan begat Isaac, Addison, and Kinsley, and Danielle begat Emma. Not really interesting, is it? No. In the midst of all the genealogies, they're going through the 12 tribes of Israel. And who had who, and who fathered who, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and then pretty soon you get to Jabez. And there's a couple verses there regarding Jabez. And then all of a sudden it goes back to so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so. And we have to ask ourselves the question, why did the historian who was doing the genealogies, why was he so led by God to mention Jabez and the tremendous thing that Jabez did, the prayer of Jabez that God honored so greatly? What was so great about that? Turn with me this morning to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Not 1 Corinthians, 1 Chronicles. All right? 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, beginning in verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you, Father, that even when we are weak, you are strong. And Father, today I pray that everyone and every heart that is here, Father, would be anointed by your almighty hand, and that you would touch each heart that is here, and that you would allow us to see, Father, why this was so important to you and how that can have such a dramatic impact in our lives. We pray, Father, that you would bless each ear, that you would touch each heart, and Father, that we can leave this place knowing that we've been in your presence. And we thank you now and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Chronicles, and if you continue to read that, I struggle with all those names. And sometimes you can get so bogged down that pretty soon you start speed reading through some of that stuff and you just think, why is it even there? Why does it even matter that I'm reading this? And then all of a sudden, in the midst of boredom, in the midst of this stuff, God gives us a tender morsel. And the tender morsel is Jabez. Jabez was a unique individual. He was an individual that God blessed in a tremendous way. The Bible says that after Jabez prayed that prayer, that God granted him that which he requested. Wouldn't it be great if God so used you in such a great and glorious way that God would say, "Time out, historians! This is so-and-so who was more honorable than his brethren. And I so used him to touch and have an impact in so many people's lives that we have to take a time out in the midst of history and record it." That's what happened with Jabez. So-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and then all of a sudden you see this little insert, this little morsel of what God is giving us, and then it goes on throughout the begats. I've often wondered, what are these men, who are these men that God uses in a great way, the Charles Stanleys, the Chuck Swindolls, the Pat Pajaks? Many of you don't know Pat Pajak. He was the pastor at Tabernacle in Decatur. Pat and I were fairly close, and when I was pastoring at Vandalia, and Pat has gone on to be with IBSA now, and he's working with IBSA, and God is using him in such a tremendous way. I was at a Bible conference with Pat, and we were both speaking. We were at a different church, and I thought, how does God use Pat Pajak? Pat is such a great man. He took that church from a couple hundred, and it went to almost 1,000 or 1,500, and they were reaching into their community. What kind of prayers does Pat Pajak pray? And as we were at this Bible conference, Pat withdrew and went to a chair that was over in the corner, and he knelt down and started to pray, and I kind of moseyed over there a little bit, you know, and just to kind of listen and pray myself a little bit. And I heard him say something that set me back a few steps. He said, "God, I just pray that you bless me. I pray that you bless me beyond measure so much that I won't be able to receive it. God, I need your blessing today to stand before these people, to speak your precious word. God, bless me." And I'm thinking, he's already blessed you tremendously. You've got this great church. God's using you in such a great way. What more can you want in life? Isn't that a little selfish to be so blessed and then continually ask for God's blessings? Isn't that a bit selfish? When I read about Jabez, I came to understand that it's not at all selfish. That's what God wants. See, first of all, we have to understand that it's not pain, but gain. It's not about the pain. It's not asking God to give us something that's outside of His will and asking so much that we change the will of God. It's not about wrestling with God until you get what you want. That's not what prayer is about. God was wanting someone to recognize who He was. The name Jabez means pain. See, in those days, people would have a child, and if it was a man child, they would wait 8 days. They would be circumcised on the 8th day, and before they were circumcised, they would be named. And the Bible says that his mother named him Jabez because she bore him in sorrow. The name reflected the character of that person. Jacob meant deceiver or grabber. Solomon meant peace. We know that Simon, the name Simon means shifting sand. We know the name Peter means the rock, the stable one. Names were indicators of character. And Jabez meant pain. Wow. How would you like to have a name like that? That's quite a legacy to have for the rest of your life. Gee, what's your name? Your name is blah, blah, blah. And my name is Jabez. Pain? See, Jabez really isn't someone that you want to pattern your life after. You don't want a life of pain. So Jabez was in this dilemma. God, my name's Pain. God, I don't want a name like Pain. See, Jabez believed in Almighty God. Now, the Bible says that even the devil believes in God, which is true. But when it says that Jabez believed in God, it's talking about believed in the God of Israel, the God of miracles, the God that released his people from bondage of 400 years in Egypt, the God that parted the Red Sea and allowed his people to go through on dry ground. The God that would provide for all of Israel for 40 years in the midst of the wilderness. The God that would be with them and allow them and work through them to conquer the promised land. That's the God that Jabez believed in. He knew that it was not about pain, it was about gain. Ron Patton is a guy that came to me a number of years ago. He came to me in the midst of all of his dysfunction. Ron Patton was a recovering alcoholic. Had two marriages that had failed, and now he was living with a gal, and the gal was from our church. Well, her name was Sharon. Her name was Sharon, and she was married to Randy. Sharon and Randy Sprague. And they were so dysfunctional. It was, they would come to me for counseling, and things just wouldn't work out, and they separated. And, you know, sometimes a Band-Aid just won't work. And sometimes there are irreconcilable differences. There wasn't infidelity, but they had just both jumped into this marriage and had several kids, and the girls were dysfunctional. They were wild children. And so now Sharon had left Randy, and Randy sat on that side of the church, and Sharon sat on this side of the church, and now Sharon is living with Ron Patton, who's a recovering alcoholic, and oh my goodness, there are medical problems in Ron's life, and he has a problem with the arteries from here down. And the problem with his arteries are this. They don't supply enough blood to his legs, and if there isn't something done right away, well, they're going to have to amputate his legs at the hip because there's not enough blood flow. So he's got the medical problems, he's got the family problems, he's got the social problems, all of these problems. And I said, Ron, that's not your problem. The problem is the fact that you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior. He says, yeah, but I go to AA. I said, well, great. AA is good. It is a good thing for you to go to AA. But I said, AA isn't going to take you to heaven. I said, I have a vehicle out there in the parking lot, and you've probably seen my vehicle. It's a great vehicle. And I said, but it was never meant to take me to Hawaii. There's no way an automobile is going to get you there. No matter how good it is, it's not going to get me to Hawaii. I said, you need a vehicle that's going to get you to heaven. And that vehicle is Jesus Christ. Well, I was fortunate enough that day to be able to lead Ron Patton to the Lord, to be the blessing in his life that he needed. He gave his heart and life to Jesus. Several months of counseling, and pretty soon the Lord led him and Sharon to repent of their sins publicly, and he went to his former wives and asked for their forgiveness. She went to Randy and asked for his forgiveness and asked for his blessing that they would be married. And Randy gave her his blessing. So now here's Sharon, and she's now marrying Ron Patton. So, it's not about pain, it's about gain. But we need to understand also the truth about blessing. The truth about blessing. Who was it that said it wasn't going to rain? Oh, sorry, Fred. It's raining like cats and dogs. The Lord knows what we have need of, and He's sending it to us right now. Amen. Amen. The truth about blessing is this. See, we need to understand what the word blessing means. We hear that word coming from the pulpit. When someone sneezes, we say, bless you. And they say, thank you. It's like saying Gesundheit. What does the word blessing truly mean? See, the word blessing means that you're asking for or receiving supernatural favor. Supernatural favor. That's what blessing means. See, it's not about simply asking God to bless us with more of what we can achieve ourselves. It's not about asking God for a Cadillac and a six-figure income. It's not about that. It's receiving supernatural favor from God. So that when we say, God, bless us, we're saying, God, we want you to bless us in such a way that we know it's your hand that's blessing us. It's supernatural. It's something we could not achieve for ourselves. That's what blessing is about. It's also, we see that Jabez left it up to God. When the blessing would take place, what the blessing would be, where it would take place, how long it would be, how it was going to be used, all of those things were left up to God. It's about being in concert with God and allowing His music to be played through your life. It's not about us. It's not about us asking God to simply bless us with more of what we can attain ourselves. But it's about asking Him to do something so supernatural that we can readily tell that it's His hand that gave it. I've had those blessings in my life. Every time I see a birth, that's a tremendous blessing. I marvel over our little granddaughter, Emma. I look at the little joints in her fingers and the little joints of her little toe. And it's like, look at her toe move. That toe has little bitty joints and little bitty ligaments, and it's going like this, and sometimes she stretches and those toes all go out like this. It's like, wow. It's amazing that God can make a human body like that. I know I couldn't. There isn't a person around that could make a baby like that. It is supernatural. When we ask for God's blessing, our lives will be marked by miracles. Our lives will be marked by miracles. I was fortunate enough to lead Ron Patton to the Lord. After leading him to the Lord, Sharon and him were married, and they were reconciled with their exes, so there weren't problems there. Randy started to actually date a gal, and she was from the area. She lived in another town, but she was from the basic area, and she was a good Christian woman. And after a few years of dating, Randy and Patty were married. And you would think that there would be so much dysfunction when those two couples were in the same church. Now they no longer sat here and there. They sat together. They were in the same Sunday school class. Can you imagine that? That's something that only God can do. It was marked by miracles. Patty was actually working with Sharon, Randy's former wife. And they were working together in VBS. And God was blessing their class. There were so many things that we could stand back and see God's hand working in their lives because they had yielded their lives to God. Yes, they made mistakes. Yes, they went down their own path. Yes, they made their own decisions. And when they repented of that and asked for God's supernatural favor, God gave it to them. Ron went into the hospital at Barnes Jewish. I was there the day he was operated on. And the surgeon did the first surgery that he'd ever done like this. They completely replaced the arteries from his legs to his torso with artificial arteries. Never had been done before. didn't know what the outcome was going to be. They actually had to do a bypass so that it would come across his torso and go to the other leg. It had never been done before. And Ron was a walking testimony of what God can do in your life through God's grace. It was amazing to see God use Ron Patton. He was so dysfunctional. This guy was ADHD turned up 20 times. He was about that tall and had small man syndrome. I'll tell you what, this guy was just dynamic. And he became a leader in his AA group. And he was ministering to so many people, both men and women. Him and Sharon had a ministry apart from AA. And we saw God's hand work in their lives and in the lives of the people that they came in contact with. It's not about pain, but gain. But there's a truth about blessing. It's asking for God's supernatural favor. Lastly, we have to ask for it. You have to ask. You simply have to ask. That's the one thing. The one thing that you have to do. Years ago, I read a book by, I believe his name is Bruce Wilkinson. Wilkerson. The Prayer of Jabez. In that book, there was a story of a man who went to heaven, and there St. Peter met the man that went to heaven and was taking him through the gates of heaven and into this great hall. It was like a storage unit, as far as the eye could see, left and right, and there were racks as high as the eyes could see. And on these racks were different levels, and they had different boxes, and he noticed that people's names were on them, and then underneath the name was an item or a subject or a topic or something of that nature. And he says, what is this? And Peter said, this is the room for blessings not asked for. He walked down a little further and saw his section, and he was amazed at all the boxes that were there with his name on them. Well, I never received that. I didn't know about that. And Peter said, that's why they're here. You never asked for it. See, it's God's nature to bless us. It's his nature. He wants what's best for his children. Turn with me quickly to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Matthew, chapter 7, verse 7. On the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is getting ready to conclude that sermon. And this is what he says in Matthew 7, verse 7. He says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Look with me in James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 2. James says this in James chapter 4, verse 2. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot attain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. See, the one thing that God requires is for us to ask. It is His nature to bless us. But we have to ask for it. You know, I never volunteered my vehicle to either one of my sons or my daughter and just simply say, here, have my car tonight, go out and have fun. Never did. I never volunteered it. But if they wanted to use it, guess what they had to do? Ask. They had to ask. It wasn't because I was a mean parent. See, God's not going to just automatically sprinkle blessings upon us. And see, that is the thought that most, or the perception that most Christians have. They believe that it is a cycle of first you got to get saved, and then the blessings come upon you in a predetermined rate. And as you receive these blessings in a predetermined rate, there's really no effort involved on your part. It's all about God. It's like God has a ledger between blessings and trials. Blessings and trials. Well, see, I've been going through a lot of trials here recently. God, it's my turn for a blessing. It's not about that. God does not have a scale so that when you do something good, He blesses you. No, that's not the way God works. That's not the way God works. My mom would stop and help people along the side of the road because she said, I don't want to have a flat tire someday. What? What? Well, I help people. I try to do good things so that I have blessings that come to me. It's like, wait a minute. God's blessings are not required. You don't have to do good things in order to get them. It's not about that. See, it's not about us. That's the problem. We think it's about us, and it's not. It's about Him. It's His nature to bless us. And that's why we receive those blessings sometimes having done nothing. I'm amazed at the blessings that I've received when I have done absolutely nothing. It's not because of who I am or what I did, but God just says, here, Craig, it's because of who I am. I'm a good father. And He gives you good gifts because He's a good father. Ron Patton. Yes, he's married. Yes, he's leading his AA group. Pretty soon, God turned up the dial on Ron Patton. He became the state leader for AA. He was in demand as a speaker at AA events. And it's unknown, I don't know, but every time I would run across when he'd come to church and so forth, because many times he'd be gone now doing things for AA and reaching people for the cause of Christ. Anywhere from 1 to 500 people he had led to the Lord through his ministry in AA. God blessed him in such a way. Not because of what Ron did, but because of who God is. That's His desire, to bless us beyond measure. The circumstances that Ron had in his life were now gone. He had a very orderly life, and God brought that order to him. And because of his obedience, God just showered him with stuff. And there were times that Ron would say, you know, I just don't feel like this, Craig. I just don't feel like doing it today. It's such a pressure on me today. He says, there's been so much pressure on me in AA that I've wanted to go back drinking again. But God kept him from that. And God used him in tremendous ways to reach others for the cause of Christ. A couple years ago, Ron passed away. And they had his funeral at a large church. And it was like standing room only. The funny thing was, there were some people there that knew Ron from before. And they were amazed at what God had done in his life and through his life. And they themselves were on that same journey that Ron had been on. And because of that, the invitation was given at his funeral. And several came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, even in his death. All we have to do is ask. I don't know the circumstances of your life, but I do know that God's bounty is only limited by us. It's not limited by him. It's limited by us and our inability to see the big picture, our inability to trust him fully, our inability to simply do as he says. Father, for those sirens, we pray for those that are in need. We pray that you would protect the emergency personnel responding in Jesus' name. The bounty of God is only limited by us when we fail to ask. Many times, I have not felt well when I get up to preach, and instantly, as I go to preach, no problems. I've had it happen over and over and over again, and sitting there in my chair today, it was like, God, I'm reminded of what Paul went through, how he asked you three times, and he said, my grace is sufficient, for in your weakness I am strong. And I said, God, if I have to be weak for you to be strong, so be it. I really don't care at this point. I haven't felt a twang or a pain or anything since I took the stage this morning because of your prayers, your obedient prayers, and because of his goodness and his grace. I don't know what circumstances in your life, but I do know this. If you will simply be like Jabez and simply say, God, bless me, and bless me indeed, that his blessings will come to you in a supernatural way and you will recognize his supernatural favor so that you too might be that individual that has a historian that speaks about this person gave birth to this person and this person fathered this person and this person fathered this person, and then you asked for God's blessings and God granted that which you requested. We're going to have a song of invitation. Today God is inviting you. God is inviting you to come. So the question he has for you is this: why not ask? As our worship team comes, let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your hand that's been upon each heart that is here. And we pray today, Father, for every need that's represented by every person that is here. Father, we pray that you would bless each one in a supernatural way. And Father, that your blessings would flow into their lives as they ask for it today. So Father, this invitation is yours. And Father, we give you this time in our lives to respond to you in a way that would be obedient, in a way that would find favor with you. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.